Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Okay, so last week was interesting. A lot of stuff came out in the press. I feel like this is why this one girl DM me. She's like, can y'all just stop talking about things that the press will grab? Because I'm so sick of defending y'all. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I know, but I'm just like, our podcast is about relationships. And I just feel like it's important to, you know, talk about things that come up and ways that we handle it. And she was just, she's like, no, I totally get it. She's like, it's just the people that I don't know us just kind of read a headline. And when they hear like, oh, Mike cheated again, they don't actually click on it
to read
the article. So yeah. It's, you know, I had a few people reach out.
Did you have any like friends reach out?
I had an old sister-in-law reach out, and then I had two people just check in with me and say, is everything okay? I heard the news, or I saw an article, wanted to make sure it wasn't true. And I was like, oh, and it's like, you know, people are, you know, also will say, well, you know, we're just trying to get attention, or, you know, they'll say like, enough of them already. Like, this is just all for money and all for show. And
where's the money?
Show me the money
if it's all about the money.
I think it's just one of those things where, you know, and it's kind of the same thing when people ask us about our book, like why do we talk about all this stuff? And, you know, we know that it's helping people. We know that there's certain things that we talk about that it helps people. And that group of people, we are doing this for, because the other people aren't going to get us. They're not going to like us. They haven't liked us. They'll never like us. And I'm just okay with it.
Yeah.
And usually I feel like I would come to the defense or be like, no, 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 no. But it's like, whatever. They're going to believe what they're going to believe. We know our truth. We know our story. And it is what it is. But we are excited to get Cherie. She's been on our show before. She's kind of like an all-in-one thing, from life coach, therapist. She's just
motivator.
So we're going to get her on the show. I'm really excited to talk to her again, because it's been a while. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about everything, babe?
I mean, it's one of those things. You kind of hit it all in the head. It's at this point, I am getting better at not paying attention to any of that kind of noise. And it's just like, okay, because we just know the truth. And I'm farther out of my shame. We're closer together with our connection and trust on things. So just people are clickbait, man. People are going to see things. And unfortunately, people are drawn to negative news rather than positive, I feel like. So, I mean, it is what it is. People can think what they want. And even before stuff like this comes out, people still say, I give him 5 years. He's going to.
Yeah. Perez Hilton goes, I see Chloe. I see like this is Chloe and Tristan. 2 years. I'm calling it.
Oh, jeez.
But I don't know. Do you have any regrets because of the things that come out and that we do talk about sharing so publicly about everything?
I mean, yes and no. Sure. Would it be great just to live our private life, our personal life privately, and not worry about all these people having opinions, whether positive or negative, and, you know, people writing articles that aren't true, or creating headlines that just for attention or clickbait? I mean, yeah, that gets old and it gets frustrating when it's about your personal life. But on the other hand, the people that we've connected with and the people that have reached out to us and the people close to us, the benefit that we see firsthand from what we've talked about and what we've shared completely outweighs the negative. You know, the fact that, like, the guy that I had lunch with a week or so ago, and just for people being willing to open up to me man to man about things, I'm like, this is why we did it. For me, I was like, this is more connectedness than I could ever think of from someone who was a stranger. So again, the fact, I mean, you've seen the amount of people that have, and men that have opened up to me or to us, or couples that have opened up to us around this stuff. So it's just, that outweighs all the negative for me.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have Cherie in the waiting room right now, so let's get her in and chat about all things 2020 in relationships. Hey, Cherie, how are you?
Hey, Cherie.
Hey, Mike. It's great to see you guys.
Good to see y'all too. Okay, Cherie, how has 2020 been for you?
Oh boy, it has been like surfing.
Yeah, especially with your, you know, your background because you're a life coach, therapist, kind of all in one everything. So has it just been exploding?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have been saying to the people who do the work that I do, like, we were made for these times. We clearly have been preparing for this moment. Because it's been a rocky ride for me and I've got a lot of tools, you know, so I feel like I am hopeful that these waves are making us do the inner work, everybody.
When you say that, you know, you've obviously, because we've all experienced 2020 and had our own challenges along the way, for someone who is supposed to be so uplifting and encouraging and helpful, when you face your own kind of inner demons, because I know sometimes with Mike and I, when we aren't communicating good, but I'm like, but we wrote about it and we say to do this, but we're not doing it. And but then with you too, where it's like, if you feel depressed and you don't know how to lift yourself up, do you kind of get more harder on yourself?
Oh, for sure. There are times, well, I would say more when I was a little younger, because I think I've been around the block now long enough to know that we have to be working our own wisdom, our own tools, always. And I'm really clear about that with people. I may be, you know, a couple steps ahead sometimes than somebody else, or I've been through, you know, a particular challenge and used the tools more. But anybody who says that they've got it all dialed, you know, who don't use their own, walk their own talk, you know, that I'd be a little bit cautious mm-hmm. about, you know, for sure. And so I think what I know I need is perspective. I need my people. You can have all the tools in the world, but it's sometimes very hard to do it alone. And so this time has had me just really nurture relationships and spend more time, you know, on the lovely screen.
Right.
Unfortunately, with the people that root me, who, you know, reflect back to me my own humanity and make it easier. Because, yeah, I think we all go a little bit crazy if we're sort of in our own heads trying to be perfect at all of this.
I think that's a great point for, you know, I know I'm this way, is I try to do so many things on my own, right? When it's like, we don't have to, you know, and so many people want to just struggle. Like, no one's gotten to where they've gotten without help, you know,
exactly.
Whether it's directly or indirectly. So, especially in these times, I think that's a great point for our listeners to kind of hold on to. And Cherie, you know, you're also titled as a, let me see if I can say it correctly, possibilitarian.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Possibilitarian.
Yeah. What she said. Can you give myself and our listeners kind of a synopsis of what what that title means?
Yeah. I mean, I'm technically called like the founder of the Luminaries or a board certified coach, all those, you know, titles that feel, more traditional. But I think the possibilitarian title came in at a certain point where I just said, look, at the bottom of, you know, the bottom line, the end of the day, I am here to do what I do because I believe that anything is possible. I will stop at nothing to get you what you want. And to answer the big questions that I think people get stuck with in life, like, who am I and what am I here to do? Mm-hmm. The big questions. And I think ultimately we are infinitely free and powerful beyond our understanding. And we're not told that by our culture, by our parents, unless we're really lucky. And my job is to come in and hold up like a big mirror and just be like, look, you are the universe. You are everything and you are capable of everything. It's just maybe that you don't believe that, or you don't exactly know how to go about it. And that's where I come in. I think I have just a weird way of getting just creative enough to overcome any obstacle.
On that topic, is there, you know, because I understand just from talking to people, friends, family, whatever, you know, I feel like everyone at some point in their life has a crossroads where it's like, should I stay in the career, the job that I'm in, or should I take this unknown leap into something completely different or new that, you know, someone has an opportunity in? Is there ever a time that you've worked with somebody that you're like, no, don't take that chance?
Wow, no, probably not. I never even look at crossroads like that as binary. Like there's a black or a white, a right or a wrong. There's always a multitude
for sure
of ways, right? So let's say the only thing that I can think about in a particular scenario like that where I would advise somebody to wait a minute would be if taking the leap caused enormous amounts of stress financially, you know, if it would cause harm, anxiety in a way that was unbearable, then I would say, let's stay with enough certainty at the current job or in the current relationship to continue to figure out what the next move is, to plot out, you know, and be in kind of a hybrid scenario where we use the certainty and the safety of the current situation to strategize what next and not make an immediate leap. Because that's true for some people, you know, they can't give up like the golden handcuffs, the great check, the paycheck, whatever, to go for the dream job. But no, I mean, a life is short. I will always help people live the dream.
What if it's one of those things though, where, you know, they want to be a singer, but they're tone deaf, you know, where it's like
that's when Cherie's like, you ain't got it, sister. Sorry.
Like, do you kind of go, well, maybe you should, you know, it's like, how do you, when it's like, because there has to be those, because I'm like, I have to think that we're going to be those parents that not discourage, but if we're like, hey, honey, like you're tone deaf, let's try to get maybe lessons, but you know, do you want to try soccer or, you know, like how do you do that when you're just like, ah, that's tough. Yeah. Cause I don't know many people that can get over being tone deaf. I don't know.
But see, that's where maybe the possibilitarian in me kicks in. Cause I'm like, all right, well, we just need to go to the top. You know, we need to find the person who will absolutely crack you open and you'll have that experience. Now, what if that, I mean, I don't know if the person didn't like make it, you know, at the full-time gig, go professional. Cause we know that career is a hard one. They should still sing all the goddamn time. I would be like, you need to go karaoke. You need to have a band. You need to have friends over. Like you need to do all that. Because clearly I believe if we have desires, even if they're not matched with talent, the desires are in us for a reason. They're pointing us in the direction of the life we're supposed to have. So I would say, you know, follow that joy, you know, in whatever way. But yeah, there is refinement. So if they were hellbent on being a professional, then we would skill up.
So is there, in your experience, have you worked with someone that maybe it's not as black and white like that, like either you can sing or you can't, but maybe someone wants to go into a certain direction and does any realistic part of you come out and be like, just knowing what you know about them, it might not be the best, and you steer them maybe in a similar but different direction. I don't know, you know, how you work through that.
Yeah, there's a whole discovery process that I go through where I dig deep into someone's soul, you know, really through a process of asking great questions and opening up this kind of liminal space to just remember what you already know.
Can we try that right now? Can you do that with Mike?
Yeah. We can start it. I mean, it takes some time, you know?
Let's dig deep in that soul, baby. But I feel like we need to dig deep in this one. Let's just try. Can we try?
Are you at a career crossroads? Is that what we're looking at?
Am I?
I don't know. You tell me.
I think Jana just wants to keep me busy.
Do you say sometimes that you don't, you might question your
my what
your go get them so maybe it's not, because maybe that means you're not passionate in it.
I think, okay, so for me, I came from a career that was, everything was scheduled for me. I was regimented every hour, every minute of every day. And then when I transitioned out, I mean, that was my entire life with athletics and, you know, in college and professionally. And then getting out of that, you know, there was a challenge trying to find that. I think now it's still, I mean, Jana and I do a lot of things together. Obviously, we do this. We had the book. You know, there's other projects we want to work on both together and individually. But there's, I don't know if I have that thing right now that I wake up every morning that motivates me to work on.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not waking up like Jana. She's a creator. It's unbelievable. I think it's like every other day she throws an idea at me. She's like, would this be good on Shark Tank? And then just lets it out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I feel bad because I'm the realist and I just have to like shut it down. I'll negate it with something. Well, that already exists or this would happen or whatever. She's the dreamer and yeah. I love her for it. And, you know, I feel bad sometimes because I don't have that imagination or that creativeness as much as she does.
And I'll say too, because there are things that I want to do with him, I don't get that that energy from him. So in my mind, I'm like, all right, he clearly doesn't want to do this because he's not following up with it. I've said it 10 times and I have that, okay, well, I'm going to then veer a different way and go a different way because I don't think he's passionate about that. And that's fine. But I just wish he would tell me kind of, I guess it's like the drive is like you're missing, which makes me, I make up that you might not be passionate about it. And so it's like, where do we ignite the drive? Like, how can we find something that does ignite you, that you do get excited about, instead of just like, ugh, we have to go in the office and write, you know, or do something.
Yeah. I was excited about the book.
Oh, no, no. I know you were. But again, it took light to the fire, and that stresses me out. So dealing with them, like, this is our schedule, let's do it, like this week we do this and this week we edit and this new this chapter, and it was like, you know, we had 2 months left and I'm like, what do you do, like, we gotta go, man. Like, and then he's like,
I work better,
and he's like,
pressure.
Now I'll work, and I'm like, huh.
Yeah, what'd you say, Mike? You worked better on what?
Under pressure.
Well, yeah, this is what I want to go back to, is when you were highly scheduled. Mm-hmm. Did you love that?
Yeah, because I knew what my day looked like. There wasn't any
plan.
It was just, it got me out of my own way of justifying or rationalizing. Nah, I'll do it later. I'll do it, you know, tomorrow. Oh, it's not that important. And it was my job, and I'll get fined if I didn't go. So, you know, that helped motivate me as well. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are a couple things coming up for me that, you know, when I talk about ultimate career strategy with people, like, what would have you be, I think, where you are, Jana, like, lit up, passionate about something, like, fully on fire, being in your creator, is you have to know what your essence is, like the essence of you, the gift of you, like the thing that is just uniquely you, and go where you'll be used for that. So I don't know that you've found that yet. You know, that you could, and or even when Jana brings you an idea and says, let's get really excited about this, and you are, but the role that you're supposed to play is still not clear, like what you actually have to do, you know? And there could be, I mean, as an entrepreneur, I know there's a lot of things that I have to do that I don't particularly love, that aren't my essence, that just come with the territory. So that needs to be sorted out. And you may just get on board with an idea and still put up with some of that, dragging your feet a little bit, because it's just not, it's not your ultimate joy. But I think it'd be interesting to see, like, what is the thing that's uniquely you that you want to go for? Whether or not that might be a shared project with you, Jana, I don't know. Because right now it just doesn't feel like anything's totally calling you. And that's nothing to feel bad about. We lose our mojo, our motivation all the time when we're not on a clear path, when we're not aligned with what we're here for, you know?
And I've always told him too, like, I've always been the, like, I would love to do this with you, but if you don't want to do this, like, because I know he really wanted to go in law enforcement, and we've talked about it a few times on the show, and, you know, he wanted to, but it's that kind of that thing where it's like, he was like, nah, like, this is easier. Or, you know, like, yeah, I know you got a real estate license, but you haven't really worked on it. So it's just, it's one of those things where I'm like, and that's okay. If that's not your passion, then let's, then don't do it. But you put these things out there and then you don't go through it. And so, but I want to be your supporter. Like, I want to be like, okay, what am I going to support you on? Is it the real estate? Is it our projects? Is it, you know, is it law enforcement? Like, what is it that like will ignite you and excite you to want to get out there and do it?
Yeah, I think what's coming up for me is because of my background of just being so scheduled, and it was non-negotiable, right? Like,
yeah,
it wasn't like the time may change. It was, that's the time you're doing something, period.
I mean, I can schedule you. You know, my dream. My dream is to schedule. Anytime we ever lose a bet, I'm like, my dream and what I would do, it's not an hour massage or whatever or sex.
To schedule my week.
I would love to schedule his week. Like, it would just give me, and you know what would be, it'd be like, he gets to work out from this time to this time. He get, you know, whatever. Go play golf on Tuesdays. And then we do a pro. It's like, it would give me so much joy. And I'm like, and I feel like he would be happier because I know you love schedules.
Yeah. Again, what comes up? I agree. I concur. What comes up for me is because of things that we do, there is a changing of schedules at times. Sometimes you'll have things that change. Sometimes you'll have to do this at this time instead, and this time and this time. So, hey, actually, this got moved, so can you watch the kids now so I can do this? And for me, it gives me so much anxiety, even though it's a normal question. But it just does. Because I come from that background of just schedule, 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 if I schedule something and it has to change.
Yeah.
It, like, and then I take it personal. Mm-hmm. Like, my shit doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, we just had that argument yesterday.
I don't even remember this morning, let alone yesterday.
Okay. Well, it was about that, where it was like your time and you felt taken advantage of. And
Correct. Yeah. And so.
And in my mind, I'm like, what? How? I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And Jan is so good at, you know, when it comes to work stuff, she's so good at being more flexible. Or like her schedule of her day is just, I have such a hard time. So my fear is that if I say, hey, you know, I want to work out from 9 to 10, then from 10:30 to 12:30, I want to study my real estate stuff. And then from this time to this time. But it's like, it's not realistic because we don't have full-time help with the kids. They go to school twice a week. We have a babysitter once a week. But we're around the kids all the time. We have stuff to do. We have, you know, podcast stuff isn't like every Tuesday at this time we do it. That's ever-changing. You know, stuff that she has to post or do whatever is, hey, I got to do this real quick. Can you handle the kids? Yes, of course. And so, but if
I just sense your anxiety, just you talking about it right now.
I know. That's
like,
what I'm saying.
I can feel like you're like,
but if that became a constant thing, if I started scheduling stuff, my fear is if I schedule stuff,
anxiety text up.
I know. My fear is if I schedule things, man, this is like real shit coming up that I haven't really.
Oh, I feel it. Process. Yeah, I'm so sorry, Ben.
My fear is that if I schedule things and I'm constantly asked, hey, I need a few minutes to do this. Can you do that? Then, I take it personal. I'm like, oh, okay, your post or whatever you have to do right now is more important than me sitting down to, even if it was me sitting down to eat lunch, and that was the time that I scheduled to eat lunch, that would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I feel it, baby.
Mike. I want to completely validate what you're going through. My son is 16 years old, and if I ask him to wash my car out of nowhere, he loses his mind because he's like, I already had a plan for the day. Mm-hmm. You didn't tell me. This is a masculine energy thing that Jana and I, when we're in our masculine, when we are, and what that equates to is producing a result. Mm-hmm. When I am heads down trying to produce a result and somebody comes and interrupts me, it's crazy. Because now I can't produce the result. It's like you've thwarted me on my road to winning. It'd be like you in, you know, your sports and somebody comes and, you know, like takes you out of your schedule and you're like, this is non-negotiable. I'm trying to win the game.
Right.
Like that is what we're doing when we're in that sort of laser focus. And it's getting really crushed being at home with kids and all of us all up in each other's business. You know, like if you went to an office and you could just power through, you'd be so happy because it also meets the need for certainty and control to be able to be in charge of something in your life. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a core issue that you've kind of just been like, meh, I don't think I'm going to put any stake in the ground because that's going to cause so much pain.
Yeah. Holy shit.
You don't have what you need in order to get passionate about something because you know, you don't have what it what you need in order to win.
And I feel like it goes back to, for you too, within the beginning where it was like, it's all about you and your schedule and what, instead of really vocalizing what you need and being, you know, having the flexibility, but unfortunately you take it on so personal, mm-hmm. that just because I say, hey, can you, I got to post this, I wouldn't redo it or whatever, you know, you automatically go to your stuff isn't important. And that's not true, but that's what you feel. And that sucks. I'm sorry that that's what you hold.
Well, if we go super like DNA with this, you and I, Jana, if we identify more feminine, this is not a gender thing, but if you're in that flow state and you're a creator and you're just going multitasking, doing one thing to the next, that says to me that you are working that DNA that we had when we were like cave women, go out into the field and we go with all of our friends and we make sure the tiger didn't eat the kids and like got all the blueberries that wouldn't kill the tribe. And like, we're doing 50 million things. And we're like, hey girl, grab the kid. He's about to get hit by the tiger. It's like, we just can do that. You know, when somebody is in that, I got to hunt the deer, kill the deer, that's not going on. And don't ask me to do something while I got it in my line of sight, because then I will miss him and we will not eat for a month. You know, it's that kind of dynamic that's happening right now. And you're like, girlfriend, can you help me with the kids? And he's like,
yeah. And we're getting into an argument when I ask him a question when he makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I'm like, what do you mean? You can't talk to me and make a sandwich. Like, it's mind blowing.
His liver die needs to eat now. Don't interrupt me and put my sandwich in my face. Uh-huh. Then I'll talk to you. It's a thing. It's a real, I've studied this for years. And one of the great resource on this is Alison Armstrong. She does work with understanding our differences that is game changing.
So what do we do about that so that he doesn't have to hold this anxiety? Because that, yeah. I mean, when he talks about it, like, I feel the heaviness and the how you talk and your breathing and, you know, it's.
I'm so grateful for you, Jana, that you can be that compassionate, empathetic, and feel him, because that's the start. That's it right there. If you didn't understand and you were shaming him for this and making him feel less than, that's what a lot of us do. You know, we're like, what's wrong with you? Can only think of one thing at a time.
I appreciate that. But can I asterisk something with that? Because it's an argument that comes up in our relationship where he'll say, I'm fake supportive. And so he'll, if he wants to do something, but then something comes up, and there's an issue around it. He's like, you're being fake supportive. And it's like, but something might just change and maybe a feeling or a schedule or something. And when he takes it personal like that, how can I still support, but also have my own experiences along with it or changes in schedule or without being like, cause it's hurtful when he says that. Cause I'm like, I always want to support and make him, you know, and just, I want to encourage him to do what he wants to do and be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think just knowing that, just hold on to that, Mike, that the intention is always there to be a really good supporter. Mm-hmm. And this is just a micro shift. This is what's working with so many couples I know that I've been working with this year, trying to redraw the lines and the rules, being at home together. I think there needs to be an agreed upon block of time that he gets, that you also get, by mm-hmm. the way, that you both get this block of uninterrupted time that is honored at all costs, unless somebody's bleeding. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
Where he knows he can count on this time, and that he, in that moment, I call it, he goes into this mode of being accountable for something, right? He's to produce something, even if it's his own just zoning out, you know, and not doing anything. Sacred time for him to produce a result. You then de facto become the supporter. He's a protector provider of this result, and you become a supporter enhancer, which means your job is to make his experience successful and delightful, you know? And it's not, you never take on this role de facto. It has to be agreed upon that you want to do this. Otherwise you become reluctant supporter. And I don't think that's fake support for you. I'm not getting you reluctant. You just, life is happening and changing, and that makes it difficult to support him well. So you, throughout each day, it changes. What would supporting you today look like, honey? How can I support you? Exactly. You know, and what do we do if something comes up? There should be no interruptions. I think that's really how it has to work. And you know that you equally have the same thing. Like, I have a particular client right now who you can hear the kids are blood-curdling screaming in the background while she's trying to do like strategic work with me. And it's because her husband cannot corral the kids. He doesn't have control over them. And like, this is not negotiable, that you have to leave what you're doing and try to corral them just because he can't do it. So they had to bring in extra help. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there needs to be very, very firm boundaries around each other's time. And then when you have feelings about changes or ways that things are, you know, going that need to be discussed, it's outside of that block of time, you know, maybe in a lovely place with a beverage where you get to say, okay, let's refine how this is working. Here's how I'm feeling. This is what's coming up for me. And Mike, you listen to learn. You just get curious about what she's saying, that she's not coming at this like she's trying to take away anything from you or not supporting you, that wholeheartedly she's trying to learn how to be a better supporter. And she's telling you what's going on for her. And then there's a deal to be made. Okay, what do you need, babe? What do you need? You go back and forth to try to find a new, greater arrangement, not a compromise where there's a loser. I'm not about this where somebody has to like suck it up. It's let's get creative enough to come up with a new way of doing things that really makes us both feel like winning. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you're very close. It's just those two moves, fully honoring his time. And then Mike, you fully honoring hers, and then a little more discussion.
I think I might have a hard time with this, and where I can understand where he comes in the fake, when he will say that I'm fake supportive, when let's say his time he uses is to go play video games or is to watch TV or something. And where I feel anxiety that comes up is, what if I'm working that day and, you know, maybe the hour that I went to go do his run, but, you know, maybe he didn't work the rest of the day or something. So then I start to get, and I don't know what, if sometimes I might feel it's a maybe jealousy, but also it's like, I might be like, well, why didn't he use his hour to work? You know, because that's his hour. So then that's where I can feel myself being fake supportive, where even if it was video games, I need to support that. But I have a hard time with that if I don't feel his passion to like go get it. But that's why I want him to find a passion, go get it. You know, so that's where it's, so maybe then I wouldn't selfishly struggle as much to know that, you know, he's putting in the effort to work as well, I guess. Does that make sense? Like,
I want to ask you, Jana, though, what would it give you if he was passionate about something, if he felt like he was on a mission?
It would inspire me to, you know, work harder too. I thrive off of, you know, if he was like, if it was something together, let's just say I have a few things that I'd love for us to do together. And he's like, all right, let's do it. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make sure we have a sitter. And so then I'll get excited about it. If it's something that he wants to do by himself, that's great. Like, I want him to be able to, you know, find something that he loves to do, you know, work-wise, that he is excited and passionate about, that he can grow and build. Because then it makes me want to continue to grow and build my stuff. And I feel like it's nice to have the other partner. How do I say it? Where it inspires me to get excited about something as well.
Okay. Have you ever considered that maybe that person who would inspire you and get you fired up is a partner, or somebody in your business world that would do stuff with you that's not Mike?
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, I've had those conversations. I've been talking to a few girlfriends about doing kind of like a mom roundtable show. And the only reason is because, you know, I want to, if our stuff, you know, of course, you know, we're praying we get a book too. So that's something that we can do together. And, you know, obviously this podcast, and there's a few other things I would love to do together. But again, if it's not inspiring him, then however he wants to spend his time work-wise, like, I want to encourage him to do it.
Yeah.
A couple things. There's a lot said there. First is, you know, with stuff together, like I said, Jana's the idea genius. She'll come up with something and be like, hey, I want to do, let's do, we should try working on this. I'm like, okay. And then that's it. And then I feel like she'll come back around to me and be like, well, why didn't you bring it up again? Why didn't you schedule it? I'm like, this wasn't my idea. I was like, I'm simple. You got to tell me, hey, on Tuesday from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, we're going to work on this. And then once I realize what we're doing and we're getting going, then I can do that too. And I feel like a part of it. But in an early stage of something, when it wasn't my idea, I feel like I'm a passenger until I grasp the concept and understand better. Because she's just more knowledgeable about some of the things that she wants to do, because it's in her wheelhouse. I'm good right. Once I get going. And then also, she works different. She could have 90 seconds. She can't sit down. She will find something to do. She'll fold two shirts. She'll do something. And she sees me, and I have a lot. We joke because on the weekends is when I'm most productive. And I grew up where, like, weekends is like yard work, house stuff. Let's go. Let's get after it. So weekends, I'm more productive than I am during the week. And that's the only time she's actually just wants to sit and chill. And then during the week, I have an easier time just kind of hanging out. And she can't sit for 90 seconds at all. And so it probably, that, like, she, to her point, where it may come across as fake supportive is because she's working her ass off. And she sees me, who doesn't have as much day-to-day work responsibility, hanging out or going to play golf or whatever. And she probably is partly jealous. Even though even if I did work the same amount, it's not like she would stop. She would just continue to work harder.
Yeah, there's role clarification, though, that I feel like is so important in this. Because if you bring an idea, Jana, to Mike, and you're like, let's do this, you're kind of de facto the leader on it. You're the one who had the idea. And you ultimately then get stuck in the supporter role. How can I help you bring this to life, babe? Unless you guys sort it out and get really clear about who's in charge of what in order to produce this result together.
I think my problem is I sit back and I wait to see if there's passion behind there, because I have said a few things that I need his help on, and I haven't seen you look into it or study different websites about it. So I kind of go back. It's kind of the same thing where our therapist said, hey, why don't you guys get a book you guys can read together? And, because I've really been wanting to, like, read a book together. And so I default almost to wait to till he brings it up, because in my mind, I'm like, well, if he doesn't bring it up, then that means he doesn't want to do it, and he doesn't, he's not passionate about it.
But yeah. Do I have to be as equally gung-ho? Like, I'm still willing to do it, but does it have, like, why do I have to match your...
I mean, I don't want to do it if you're not excited. Like, I need the energy. I feed off of people's energy. I feed off of, oh, yes, let's do it. Like, okay, this day we're doing this. And, hey, God, I looked up a few websites that are similar to what we want to do or something, and it's like I need – like, that's just me. I guess I'm – how do I go alongside something when maybe the energy isn't there? Because I make up that I'm like, he doesn't want to do it.
But
and that's okay.
Let me say this real quick before Sheree goes on that is – I mean, is that fair to expect the same energy? Like, something you're passionate, I'm passionate about, I wouldn't expect the same passion from you, but sometimes we just do things for each other because we know it's important to one another. Like, we can't always expect our partner to be just as enthusiastic or willing to do something. And if they're not do it at all, because we do make sacrifices. We do things because it's important to the other person.
My take on this, Jana, is you're coming at it with fire and you want fire to play with. It's the inspiration, the passion. That's what that element of excitement is what you feed off of. And I think if Mike doesn't have the same fire, we could look at another way that he might come in to support you that we haven't discussed yet. So imagine this. When we're in that creative mode, we're like, dancing in the fire. That's how we are. And I think that's ultimately what's happening with women right now, is we are in our power, out there creating, doing so much great stuff in the world. And all the men that I'm working with are kind of like, what do I do with all of this? So you guys are not alone in having this conversation. I need to say that. They're like, what do I do with her? She's on fire. And you know, we want them to be with us because we crave connection and we love them. And so we want to do it together. But there's another way that I'm seeing men show up ultimately that would have us get even more fired up and more powerful. Not meeting us in the same energy, but actually being like the ground of our being. Providing this grounded presence, like earth, you know, fire and earth. Like he just could lay there and watch you and be there for you and cheer you on and give you the safety that you need to go out there and do all the things. That's another way of being in partnership that I could see. Like you can tell Mike's got this really grounded energy, like a stillness that ultimately is the masculine. It's this stillness, this consciousness, this awareness, you know, that we want to be witnessed by. We want them to watch us, see us, go like, oh my God, babe, like look at you and all your creative, you know? And that could be one way that I think we could just take the pressure off being fire for a while and say, what would it give you if he showed up in that way? But I'm guessing like you're not experiencing that from him, because when he's in the stillness, he's focused on his sandwich or he's focused on his game.
It's a damn good sandwich.
Right? And he's not showing up to be a sounding board or to be a witness to everything that you're doing or to like fan your fire and make you more fired up. I think that's what you're asking for. It's like, fire me up even more. Get in here with me, you know?
Look at me.
Yeah. We want to be seen and heard and like adored for what we're doing, you know? And I've experienced this in workshop with men. So I'll go do these crazy intimacy workshops, like sacred intimacy, where, you know, we'll do this experiment of having a man like literally lay down and be like so focused on us as women that we would just like, you know, blow up and all the energy, you know, like we could talk about this on a whole other show, but but that showed me the potential for us in partnership now, for us to be unleashed by full presence in a man. And it doesn't mean like he needs to sit there and watch you at your work all day. It's doses of full presence and appreciation for you that then you could take to maybe other fired up people.
Sure.
And do your work with.
I think it's interesting, like when we say like we just want to be seen, how maybe it's just 2020, but I feel like, I mean, obviously there's so many relationships that are falling right now and you know, divorces, but it's almost like we're passing each other, you know, yeah. Where it's like, it's kind of this, I mean, I know I crave to be seen even, you know, when I put makeup on and like for the first time in 3 months or something and, you know, he'll walk right past me and have looked at me, but like not said anything. And it's just like that. You're gutted, you know, because you're just like, I have eyeliner on. Like, what is this?
But that's the thing. To me, you look just as beautiful without makeup. And so,
but it's just interesting, like the fire and the ground and the, like what we need and what, you know, what you need versus what I need. And, you know, it's an interesting conversation just because we do have very different needs. I think women just want to be seen and heard and appreciated, and men just want to be respected. And I know respect, that Love and Respect book you read was huge. And it's just feeding those fire and ground, and I don't know, it's interesting,
all the elements. Yeah. And this is like in the Ayurveda and the yoga, you know, these great scientists of consciousness laid this all out for us a million years ago, and I think there's a lot to be gained from seeing it as just that you two are forever changing throughout the day too, which is hard for a man who just wants to like be still, you know, or be in control, because there's fluidity and we dance. Ultimately, there are times when I've had this conversation with like my soul brother, who I do this work with, Dan Doty of Every Man. And I would say, women just want to be seen and heard and appreciated. And he's like, us too. And it was always us too. Like, because we don't get stuck And if we do, that's when relationship troubles happen, playing the same role all the time. You know, there's going to be something, I know, Mike, that'll crack for you that you're going to be super fired up about, and you're going to need her appreciation, and you're going to want her to see you and all of that, you know, and what you're creating. But yeah, it's a dance, man. And I have had so many people say to me like, oh, I just figured her out. And we just got this new way of being. And now it's different again. It doesn't work anymore. And I just tell me what to do that always works. And that's just not relationship.
No, it's not. We're ever changing.
I know. Well, yeah. Sheree, thank you for coming on and just...
I feel like we have to pay you for that. So just invoice iHeartRadio.
Yeah. You're so good. I'll just say this one last thing. The more you want to give, the more you need. And Jana, in the last little bit here, you talking about the needs is really what it all comes down to, is constantly just being kind enough to ask each other moment by moment, what do you need right now, babe? What do you need for this block of time? What do you need if things feel like they're changing a bunch? Like, and for him to say like, yeah, I love you without makeup. I love you with makeup. But the what do you need? I need you to adore me no matter what. I need you to stop every time I enter the room and go, wow.
You know? I don't need that, but you know.
It'd be nice. It'd be nice.
We would all love that.
I know. So, where can our listeners find you and hire you?
Oh man, on Insta at The Luminaries and SheereeHealy.com on the website, which will actually soon be relaunching as just TheLuminaries.com.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We so appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again soon once we get that fire.
For
to
sure.
Keep it lit.
Thanks, Sheree.
I love talking with you guys. Have a great time. Right.
Bye, girl.
Thank you. See ya.
Bye.
Do you want to go make a fire?
I mean, now I feel like I gotta go in the office and just create. It's a Saturday afternoon. I'm like, I just want to flip this table in front of me. Let's do this.
Well, it is a weekend, so it's
my
two
time.
Days.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness,
man! I feel like a little cleansed though.
Yeah.
Because that was some like real anxiety coming up for me. Mm-hmm. Like stuff that, you know, it's. That's the benefit of just therapy in general, right? You just start having these conversations and you just come to the realization of something without even knowing. I'm like, that's why. Like, that's why I'm scared to schedule things. You know? And that's the thing. It's like, no one's fault. It's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's just the anxiety I have around it because of how I'm programmed. Because I want, you know, things are going to change. Hey, I know you're doing this, but can you give me 5 minutes? You know what I mean? Like, a lot of it's how we phrase it or how we ask each other. But I don't know. I gotta go think about this stuff.
Well, I think what I took away from Sheree is that tone deaf or not, you can sing, and you can anything is possible. And I think that's. You know, you gotta put in the work, you gotta put in the energy, and you gotta put in the focus and the drive to get that fire. So and there's Mark in a closet. What are you doing in a closet?
A new spot.
Some days it's the only place you can go where you can get some peace and quiet. And it's also a good room for recording because it's a dead room. There's no echo or anything.
I was gonna say, I've heard a lot of people, like radio hosts and stuff like that, be like, yeah, but I'm in my closet still. And I've heard a lot of people in their closets, so I'm actually not too surprised.
That's funny. What'd you get out of this, Mark? Did you get anything? Did you feel anything?
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating, actually. And also, I think that there's a fundamental issue there between men and women, because I felt this in my marriage too, where the woman is very invested in the man's motivation and drive and passion, and the man could care less about her motivation and drive and passion. Mm-hmm. And if my wife wanted to spend 4 hours every afternoon on the couch watching Real Housewives, I wouldn't care in the slightest.
Never.
That's fine. If she wants to do that, have a good time.
Never.
But if I started doing that, it would be a major issue, because then you're just a lazy slob. So
right.
I really related to what you guys were talking about. I think that's something a lot of married couples deal with.
I guess I just don't know why. Like, is it because we feel like we do a lot of, but like, you do a lot of work too with the kids and the household stuff.
I know I do.
So I just, I don't know where, like why we've taken on that role of why is it not okay? Like, I don't know. It's interesting. Just like if I was to sit and watch a movie, you'd be like, oh, awesome. Enjoy your movie. But like if
Without
you did,
hesitation.
I would be like, oh, I'm so annoyed right now. There's so much to do, you know? It's so interesting. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I'm glad to hear that your wife is the same way.
Absolutely. And since we're all stuck together, it becomes more obvious. Like if I'm at work, she doesn't see what I'm doing all day. But when I'm home, she sees everything I do. And so if I'm not always focused on this, well, then why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you exercising? Why aren't you, we try to live our lives for each other. And I think that can be a bad way to go, kind of, you know?
Yeah. Like I want to be able to do stuff. And Janet doesn't, I don't want to do the message that she nags or is a constant nagger by any means. But I think like our whole point here is it happens with everybody. Every relationship deals with some sort of this.
Yeah.
And, but there is some days I just want to be like, want to do whatever I want to do on the time I want to do it. And that be okay. And that includes being productive. That includes not being productive. That includes everything. But it's like, I feel like whenever at the time I do something, whether it's productive or not, there's still
something to be said.
Something to be said. That's it's like, oh, right now you're going to do that? Or I'm like, there's no good time then. I don't, you know what I mean? Like there's always just something has to be said. And I've said that a lot in arguments.
And I think it comes down to the wife always has a list of 100 things to do. And they're all prioritized as immediate and later and when I get a second. And so when that's your mindset, there's no concept of sitting and watching a movie or just laying on the couch or playing video games or anything like that.
And we're like, tomorrow, 3 months from now, next year. That's our time, mine.
Because my wife never stops moving. She's always got something to
do. Never.
And in the back of her mind, 5 other things she needs to do in addition to that.
I think we need to realize it's a biological thing. And us men are not to be blamed.
Okay, good. Yes, let's all agree on that.
It's science. Sorry. I'm sorry saying that. It's science, honey. It has nothing to do with me. It's all science.
Good luck. Oh, man. Well, I thanks for making me feel less crazy. Like, maybe you and just me, like the wives should get together and just, you know, powwow about it instead of complaining to y'all. You know. Good times.
That's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, it is for sure. But I think that was a great show.
I think it was an awesome show.
What are you doing after the show? I'm curious.
I'm about to light a fire. AKA make a sandwich and watch TV.
On that note, I got about a laundry list of things to do and laundry. So
I did start the laundry.
Yes, but you never finish it.
Because by the time I go to the laundry room, Jana sets like a timer. Okay, 55 minutes is left.
I do.
And then she'll go. It's like, so I'm just like, okay, I'll throw this in the wash. I'll come back in a little bit. I'll forward the laundry, whatever. Next thing I know, I go in the laundry room. It's all done. I'm like, I started it. I will finish it.
You when?
If you just not do it right when it's done. She's over there, fold clothes. They're piping hot.
I've lived this too, and that's why I started setting a timer because I have to get in there first. Otherwise, I'm the bad guy
right.
for starting the laundry.
But I love my wife.
Wow, what a realizations. But thank you, honey, for starting it. I so appreciate
and I'm
you starting my
I'm
work for me.
Push over our podcast stuff and sprint into the laundry room so I can forward it before you get there. I'm going to tackle you.
Oh, my God. I love you guys.
All right. Have
See
a great
next week. A productive week at that.